Your headline news this hour for WPFW Washington and WBAI New York. I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe and thank you for listening.
Gold Mary in the bag and tied around my neck for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, earth from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Hey, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I got hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Go. Cola tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can leave to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, salad.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but also to turn your life and health around. And I'm Dr. Theodore Watkins, your host. And here with me is my able assistant, Mr. Frank Smith. How you doing today, Brother Frank?
Doing well, Doc. How about
all right,
you?
All right, man. I wish it was still 70 degrees outside, but I'll take the sunshine. Well, as we said last week, today we're going to do part two of medically supervised fasting. And in a way of review, you know, a fast is a period of partial or completely abstaining from food. As our definition implies, Brother Frank, there are different kinds of fasts, from a total fast to just giving up particular foods for a period of time. You know, the one that I primarily use in my practice is what I call the modified juice fast, where you're not eating any solid foods, but rather you're taking your nutrition and all the nutrients in a liquid form, water, and I recommend distilled water, a vegetable broth with sea salt, fruit and vegetable juices, and herbal teas. Many people are worried that if they go on a fast, that they will not get the adequate nutrients that they need. At least that's the excuse that they use, not the fast, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, at least with our modified juice fast, that's not the case. In fact, one of the reasons I put my patients on this fast is that their diets that they've been eating for years has not provided them the adequate nutrition, and that's why they're sick in the first place. Does that make sense, Brother Frank? am I telling the truth?
Yes, sir.
Anyhow? So how does fasting, and I'm sure that's a question that many of us would ask, how does fasting actually help us to become healthier? Well, there's plenty of evidence for it, although people would say, you know, is there evidence? Yes. There's numerous well-designed studies that show that you sick folk, once you fast, that it is the best thing that you can do to regain your health. Let me say it again. Mm. All you sick folk out there, fasting is one of the best things that you can do to regain your health. Mm. Now, let's get specific. Let's start with some diseases. One of the diseases that I routinely put on a fast is diabetes. Now, a lot of people will say, you know, diabetics shouldn't fast. But the reality is that I get excellent results with my diabetes on a fast, especially those with what we call type 2 diabetes. These diabetics are generally obese, and we get excellent results. We help to slim them down. But even with type 1 diabetes, you know, what we call insulin dependent diabetes, we get good results. You know, however, in most cases with type 2 diabetes, we're actually able to get them off their medication in the first week of fasting. We take people who've been on medication for 20, 30 years. And in 1 week, we have those rascals off medication with a normal blood sugar. A normal blood sugar in 1 week, and oftentimes it's as little as 3 days. We have them off medication and with a normal sugar. Now I don't know. I haven't planted any, but there may be some of my patients out there or someone out there who've gone on my fast who's diabetic can call and testify, you know. But I'll tell you, this is what I tell my patients. In that 1 week, you may be off your medicine, but you are still a diabetic. All right? You're still a diabetic, because if you stop fasting and go back to eating what you've been eating before you fasted, that sugar gonna go right on back up. Mm-hmm. Right? See? But you're able to get off your medicine because you've gotten off those fatty and processed foods. And when you do that, your body quickly regulates itself and your blood sugar comes tumbling down. You know? Now, we follow up that diabetic after the fast. And most of them go for 14 days. Some go 30. I had one guy who actually went 90 days. All right. 90 days. But what happens after that? We put you on a plant-based diet, get all that fat and so forth out of your, and processed foods out of your, dietary plan and you never have to go back on the medication, all right? Mm-hmm. But we find that even in some cases, in all cases, the type 1 diabetics are able, after fasting, to better control the glucose. And some are able to actually get off the medication. We think that the reason this is happening in the type 1 diabetic is because when you fast, you begin the process of reversing that atherosclerotic buildup in your bloodstream and in your body. Mm. But in most cases, the pancreas has been destroyed by the disease, and so you probably will always require some medication, even though not as much. But thankfully, it's been shown, and we've even shown that some, some with type 1 diabetes are able to get off their medications altogether. Now, this may be because some of them have been mislabeled type 1 in the first place.
Oh.
All right? They've been mislabeled type 1. Some doctors will tell patients when they put their patients on insulin, we're putting you on insulin because you're insulin dependent, you're type 1 diabetic, when in reality, they're not type 1.
No.
All right? But some of them, they're able to get off their medications because their pancreas has not been completely destroyed by the disease. Now, Brother Frank, I want to get into a little bit of the pathophysiology of this disease, this type 1 diabetes. You know, it's a type of autoimmune disease.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? That means that your body attacks itself.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Your body attacks itself. And because of that, it destroys the pancreas. Some believe that there's a virus associated with type 1 diabetes that embeds itself in the pancreas, and the body's immune system goes to try to kill the virus.
Wow.
And while killing the virus, it also kills the pancreas. Now, autoimmune diseases are similar to things like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, Sjögren's disease, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis. These are all autoimmune diseases where the body attacks itself. Now, in each of these cases, we've been able to reverse the diseases with diet and lifestyle change. So it stands to reason that if we can catch the type 1 diabetic early enough,
mm-hmm.
that we can help them too. So fasting is very, very important in helping to prevent and reverse type 1 diabetes. Now, another disease that we get very good results with fasting is hypertension. Hypertension. You know, high blood pressure. And it's been shown that hypertension is improved by fasting.
Hmm.
In fact, one author suggests that fasting could be one of the best treatments for hypertension.
The best treatment, Doc?
The best, most effective treatment. I'm saying that. You know, where they took these folk who were hypertensive and they put them on a fast. And I think it was like 30-some days.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got off, I mean, their blood pressures dropped. All of them dropped. They had to be above 140 systolic, mm-hmm. in order to get on the program.
Mm-hmm.
And the higher the blood pressure was, the more the pressure dropped while fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, they got down up to 60-point drop. Average a 60-point drop in the folk who had blood pressures like 180 and above, systolic.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so it was thought that once they stopped fasting, that the blood pressures would go back up. But they encouraged them to eat a plant-based diet,
mm-hmm.
and because they got such good results with the fast, they were willing to do this. So why does fasting, why is it so effective in bringing blood pressure down? You know, with diabetes, it makes sense because you're helping them to lose weight. And at least with type 2 diabetes, obesity is one of the main factors associated with type 2 diabetes. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hypertension don't have to be obese. But what is, has been shown is that fasting helps to reverse the atherosclerotic process.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And atherosclerosis has been shown to be one of the major causes of hypertension, as it is one of the major causes of diabetes. All right? So why is that? You know, the reason is something called insulin resistance. Now, we've known for a long time that the number one cause of diabetes is insulin resistance.
Mm-hmm.
But what about hypertension? Well, what happens is that the body needs sugar, glucose, in our cells as an energy resource, all right? As an energy resource. But because the sugar goes to the cell, knocks on the door, and then the insulin is supposed to come and open up the door and let the sugar in so it can do its job. But the insulin is impotent, is weak, is impotent. Mm-hmm. It cannot open the door. All right? And what happened, allowed the sugar in to do its job. All right? And so as a result of this, the sugar builds up in the blood. But not only does the sugar build up in the blood, the body says, look, I need some more insulin. And the pancreas starts pumping out more insulin. But because you rascals have been eating those fatty and processed foods, that insulin that's being produced is impotent too. And so the excess of sugar and the excess of insulin flowing through your body is devastating to the body. It's devastating to the body. You know, we talk about something called the metabolic syndrome. The metabolic syndrome. You've heard that term, Frank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's well known. The well-known entity in the medical community. It's a syndrome. It consists of atherosclerosis, diabetes, stroke, hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, and obesity. At least I think they have to have at least three of those in order to qualify to be to say that you have metabolic syndrome. Well, at the core of metabolic syndrome is insulin resistance. All right? And so insulin resistance starts this atherosclerotic process, this hardening of the arteries. And because the arteries are hard, they can't expand. And since they can't expand, the heart pushes harder, pumps harder to try to move the blood through the body. And if you remember from your physics, it's easy to get water through an elastic pipe than it is through a hard pipe. Mm-hmm. So more force. And so the blood pressure goes up in response to the atherosclerotic process. So those of you who want to call, give us a call, the number here is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Give us a call with comments or testimonies, what have you, questions that you may have. But this atherosclerotic process is so very important in the initiation of all these diseases.
Yeah.
You know? And so, and it's coming from this insulin resistance, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And fasting helps to reverse that process, all right? It helps to start breaking down the atherosclerosis. It helps to make those arteries more pliable. It helps to decrease the obesity, the fat content, and it helps to actually reverse the insulin resistance itself.
Mm.
All right? Partly because you're not putting all that junk in your body that caused it in the first place. We were fearfully and wonderfully made, Brother Frank.
Yeah.
And when we stop doing what we're doing to our bodies are often able to correct itself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's able to correct itself. And so fasting stops that process right in its tracks. You know, it's so exciting to me to think that something as simple as fasting can have such a profound effect on such major issues. We're talking about fasting. We're encouraging you to give us a call. The number is 202-588-0893 with your questions or comments, testimonies, what have you. Here we're talking about why fasting is so effective. And so let's go to our phones, the first caller. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Oh, hi, Dr. Watkins. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I have a history of heart attacks and strokes in my family. However, I had a carotid ultrasound done, and my external carotid artery was blocked 90%.
Mm-hmm.
And however, I have been eating a mostly plant-based diet for years. I do have a history of hypertension, but, you know, my blood pressure is running 90 over something, but, of course, that's with medication. But I also enlist, you know, a fasting procedure, not procedure, but I'm involved in fasting. Say, for example, I'll have dinner at 7, and I usually don't eat until between 1 and 2 the next day. So I'm just asking, any idea where carotid process...
If you heard our lecture on intermittent fasting, you know that what you're doing is causing heart disease, not reversing it. People who don't eat breakfast, people who eat breakfast after 2 hours, people need to eat breakfast within 2 hours of getting up.
Okay.
Otherwise, there's up to a 50, in some cases, even higher increase in heart attacks in people who do that kind of fasting. So the fasting that I'm talking about is not the intermittent fast, all right?
Okay, so I'm really not in an intermittent fasting. The fasting is too long.
No, you're not fasting long enough. or you're fasting incorrectly. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
So the fasting, there's something called you're total fasting for a period of time. And of course, I recommend a juice-based fasting. You know, where you're drinking, you're getting nutrition. You're drinking fruit and vegetable juices, especially the freshly prepared fruit and vegetable juices. You're getting the vegetable broth, the sea salt. You're getting herbal teas. You're getting a lot of nutrients in your fast. Okay. All right. And we're going to talk about something in a minute as to why that actually works. But suffice it to say that that's a fast, you know. And if you do that kind of fast, and you have to make sure that even when you eat, that it's really plant-based. A lot of vegans are not plant-based, although you said plant-based. But a lot of vegans are not plant-based because a lot of processed foods, mm-hmm. and processed foods causes inflammation. Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Causes inflammation, and inflammation is at the heart of many of these processes. All right?
Okay.
Diabetes, hypertension, all the inflammation is caused because your body is not designed for the processed foods. And so what happened, these foods are foreign to the body, and the body attacks them. And it attacks your stomach if it's in your stomach. It attacks your arteries if it's in your artery. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't eat a lot of processed
food.
The body
is trying to get that stuff out of itself. And the inflammatory process is part of also that atherosclerotic process.
Even though I don't eat a lot of processed foods, I had some lab work done recently. I mean, the fasting blood sugar was 64.
Studies have shown that insulin resistance can exist for 10 to 12 years before there's an elevation of blood sugar. Did you hear me now?
Okay.
Insulin resistance can exist for 10 to 12 years prior to elevation of blood sugar. All right. So what we need to do is really evaluate what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
I have a patient. She was a thin, raw vegan.
I'm thin.
And she came to me with a blood sugar, a hemoglobin A1C of 13.3, I think it was.
Oh, wow.
The normal is 4.8 to 5.4. That's the normal. Hers was 13.3. And she was shocked. Why would my hemoglobin A1C be so high? Well, when I took her history, I asked her, do you eat nuts? She ate nuts with almost everything.
Okay, the nuts. Okay.
I said, nuts, fat. Nuts, fat.
Right.
The number one cause of heart disease is not saturated fat, it's total fat. So even the good fat can be bad for you if you're getting too much. So I took her off all the nuts. You know, a strict plant-based diet with no, you know, just fruits and vegetables and grains, and about a 3 months, her hemoglobin A1C was down to about 5.3, something around there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drastic drop in her blood sugar, of course, without medication. You know, so once we analyze where you are, then we can put you on a program that corrects the problem. They told us in medical school, he who has himself for a doctor has a fool for a doctor. So, but fasting would definitely help you, but it needs to be the right kind of fast.
Okay.
It needs to be the right kind of fast. That continuous fast, where you're not going up and down and But thanks very much. I hope this has been helpful to you.
It has been. Thank you.
202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phone. Just call her. You're on the line.
Hello. Yeah. I have a question, and my question is, I'd like to know what Dr. Watkins' thought is on the drugs that, since he's talking about insulin resistance and those medications now that's being advertised like Ozempic, and how that would, you know, kind of, does, what's his thought on that? Because it seems that that would help with so many, like obesity, which causes heart. I just like to know what his thought is, because many people are leaning toward that, and we know that it's best to, you know, change your diet and do all these things that are healthy and better for you.
But, so I'm working on a project looking at treating symptoms versus treating the disease. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may need some medication for a minute. I don't snatch my patients when they come diabetic. I don't snatch them off their medication. I let the body say it's time to get off the medication. All right. And as you get on the right kind of diet, as you get on the fasting program, as I said, generally in 3 to 7 days, the sugar starts dropping, and we have to cut back on the medication, or either we have to put you back on that unhealthy food, because if you stay off the unhealthy food and you stay on the fast, the sugar is going to drop, you know, because healthy food and fasting brings down the blood sugar. All right. So that's a factor. Now, as I mentioned, some people will not be able to get off all medication, but especially for type 2 diabetics, that's the minority, not the majority. Most of them, they can get off the medication if they're willing to make the changes.
Yeah.
But some people, they just love that lamb chop to death. And that's what they get, you know. And so I'm actually in the process of reviewing Ozempic, so I can't comment on that. But in some cases, some of the other medicines have been shown to have a lot of side effects. But the disease has a lot of side effects. So if you're not going to change, you better take that medicine. But if you're going to change, in many instances, if not most, especially with the type 2 diabetic, you can get off the medicine. And even the pre-diabetic, the complications of diabetes starts in the pre-diabetic phase.
Mm. Right.
All right? That's before your sugars get too high. But remember, I just said that the insulin resistance, which is at the basis of all of this, starts even before the sugar starts going up. Lord have mercy. And so what we have to do is make a decided effort that we're going to do the right thing and put the right thing in our bodies. And you probably need, I mean, I guess it's a plug, but you need some direction. So if you somebody who knows what they're doing to help you through the process, because if not, it can be dangerous. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Just call her. You're on the line.
Rick Barkle.
Rick.
Tough
What's
question.
What's up there in Germany, man?
Life is slowing down for me, but my concern is about getting to the good food. There's a supermarket in Southeast D.C., Stanton Road, Alabama Avenue, Giant Food. Do you know if that supermarket has been closed due to theft?
I do not know.
Okay. I just want to say to you...
Make your point, brother.
I just want to say to your audience, if you can't find good supermarkets in your own neighborhood, get on the bus if you're poor and go to the better neighborhoods and get to the better food.
Well, I think that's a good point, but we also need to lobby those establishments in our neighborhood to bring quality food, you know, I remember my wife went into, and you know, we're in a pretty decent neighborhood, went into a, quote, health food store looking for some seeded red grapes. And they had none. And so she called for the manager. And she said, how can you be considered a healthy food store and you don't have the healthiest grapes, which are seeded grapes? She said, when she went back there, the manager had them. I mean, he had them in there. And so she called for the manager again. And she thanked him for having the red seeded grapes. All right? Because she wasn't going to have them. Nothing other than what's good for you. You know, I've said many times, I'm a project boy, welfare kid. But my mama did exactly what you're talking about. There in Cleveland, Ohio, she put us on the bus, and we went to Shaker Heights, which at the time was one of the wealthiest communities in this country. And we would stop in Shaker Heights because my mama said, you're in the project, but you're not of the project. There's a certain thought process. We have to have that kind of thinking. And if we have that thinking, we can transform our community. All right? But until the community is transformed, you go get on that bus, like you said, and do what you... We never had a car, so we had to catch the bus and carry them bags of groceries on that bus back home. But we did it because my mama said we have to have the best. Thank you very much, my brother. Appreciate it. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Do we have another caller there, Brother Frank? All right, all right. So let's go back. Fasting. So we talked about diabetes. We talked about hypertension. We talked about atherosclerosis. Another thing we need to talk about is arthritis.
Oh yeah.
Arthritis. When I went into holistic medicine, I wanted to work with diabetes and hypertension and heart disease, and I went into some senior buildings where I knew plenty of it was, but they weren't interested in those. They were interested in Arthur. Arthur was sleeping in, with all them.
It's hurting.
Boy, they were hurting. They went to bed with Arthur. They rocked with Arthur all night and woke up with Arthur. All right. Well, the fact is that because the pain in arthritis is due to what, Brother Frank? We call it what? Inflammation.
Yeah, inflammation.
Inflammation. So if I start beating you on your arm in one place repeatedly, and you don't hit me back in the head and knock me out, I keep hitting that arm will swell, it'll get red, it'll get hot, and it'll start hurting. Even my little skinny self. All right? And that process is called inflammation. Mm-hmm. Now, fasting decreases that inflammatory process, gets the inflammation out the body, all right? It also gets rid of a lot of the toxins that's in the body. And when that happens, the pain significantly decreases, mm-hmm. all right? Now, this is true with rheumatoid arthritis. It's true with osteoarthritis, any of those things where there's a lot of inflammation associated with the disease, fasting is going to help because it's going to get those toxins out of the body. Another thing that we have to, and I mentioned it earlier, but when we put patients on the fasting program, the fasting cleansing program, they lose weight. They lose weight. They lose weight for a number of reasons. One, they get rid of the inflammation. And when you have inflammation, water comes in, all right, to try to calm down the inflammation. All right? So you're getting rid of a lot of the excess water because the inflammation is going down. You're losing body fat because it's breaking down the fat in the body, all right? and utilizing and burning it up and using the nutrients in the fat. There's a lot of good stored stuff in the fat, but there's a lot of bad stuff stored in the fat. And the body's able to separate the two when you fast, all right? And so you're losing water weight, you're losing fat, but fortunately, because we're giving you nutrients in the way of the fruit and vegetable juices and the herbal teas and the vegetable broth, you're not losing muscle. You're not losing muscle. And so as a result, you get stronger during the fast, not weaker. People are surprised that you do, that you get, one of my little play nephews wanted to stop smoking, Brother Frank. And he said, Uncle Teddy, can you help me stop smoking? I said, no problem. So I put him on our fasting program because it would get rid of the toxins in his blood, all right? And I put him on something, you know, one of our nutraceuticals that would work with the nerves so he wouldn't have the withdrawal symptoms. And when he came back, not only was he able to get off the cigarettes, but he said, Uncle Teddy, I kept going to the gym. Just like Dean talked about last week. He said, I kept going to the gym. And he said, the folk would ask me, what are you doing? Because you're lifting more weight, not less. All right? So you were getting stronger during the fast, not weaker. All right? So you're not hungry. You're not weak. Energy increases. You sleep better. All this is happening during the fasting process. And because you have less pain, you're sleeping better too, Brother Frank. You're not rocking all night with the pain, you know. And so arthritis is significantly improved. Obesity is significantly improved. And one of the surprises to me, Brother Frank, even some cancers can be prevented and have been shown to be reversed with fasting. Now that sounds crazy. That sounds crazy. How in the world are you going to prevent and reverse cancer with fasting? Well, it's because fasting decreases something called IGF-1, insulin growth factor 1. Insulin growth factor 1 is found in your meats, the dairy, and those other fatty foods, the cheeses and so forth. High in IGF-1, which promotes cancer. All right? Fasting decreases that, as does the plant-based diet. And so when you do the fast and you follow up with a plant-based diet, you're helping yourself with the cancer. All right? And that's why when you had your cancer, Brother Frank, and you start juicing, you know, that cancer start, I got to get out of here. It's uncomfortable in here. I don't have the stuff that's promoting my growth. All right? There's, in fact, there was an example of this guy who he was the first one that I think it was known that it actually made a difference from a scientific perspective. He had lymphoma. And the fellow went on a water fast. And he went into what we call spontaneous regression of the cancer, meaning the cancer, without any treatment, just went away. Just went away. Spontaneously, by itself, it went away. Now, actually, it didn't go away by itself because the body was there working. But he didn't do anything other than fast. And so when people heard about that, they said, well, is this just one incident, or can we reproduce that? And so they started doing studies and looking at fasting. And they found out that, that water fasting worked. And it was interesting. Water fasting even helped them to reduce the amount of days and the amount, the dosage of chemotherapy. All right. And the longer they fasted, they fasted 1 day before chemotherapy. They fasted 2 days before chemotherapy. They fasted 3 days before chemotherapy. And the longer they fasted, the more it was able to reduce the amount of chemotherapy that it needed to get rid of the disease. All right. But they found out that the reason this was working was because IGF-1 was being reduced. Well, as they kept looking, they found out that even the juice-based fast that we recommend in our program also decreases what? The IGF-1. Mm-hmm. All right? Because you're not juicing lamb chops. You know, you're juicing carrots and apples and green leafies, you know. You're taking smoothies with berries and so forth, which have all these other phytonutrients in them that fight the cancer, but also are low in the IGF-1. All right, and so it's just amazing, you know. It's like we're a broken record, Frank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It all leads back to the same door. The number is 202-588-0893. Let's try to get this last caller in. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hi, my name is Chris. I had a question in reference to the nuts. You were talking about, was that walnuts, all the different nuts that you should be careful?
Yes, I took her off all nuts because all nuts are high in fat. All right? Now, the body needs fat, and walnuts, I'm glad you mentioned, walnuts are high in omega-3 fatty acids, which are very good. But when you have too much of a good thing is bad. That's why one of the principles I use in terms of lifestyle is something called temperance. You know, you have to have enough, but not too much. I tell the story about me going to home Cleveland and looking over Lake Erie, and a storm was brewing. And I said, you can't live without water, but too much will kill you. And so if you're overweight, you need to cut back on the nuts. You know, matter of fact, I would cut them out initially. It's not that they aren't good, but they aren't good at this time. So once you get your body back in shape, you know, get the fat down, because the obesity is a monster. You know, we have talked a lot about it today, but it's a monster. And that adds to it. So once you do that and you get your body where it needs to be, regulated, then you can have your walnuts. You can have your avocados, you know, which are also good in omega-3 fatty acids.
Sparingly.
Yeah, but yeah, you have to eat it in moderation. In moderation. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. So thank you. So the blood sugar level, is it best to do, I missed that one part, I caught the end of it, the fasting blood sugar, or just to do
the way you do it, you do a fasting blood sugar, but you also do a hemoglobin A1C.
Okay.
Hemoglobin A1C, especially if you're overweight, all right, because the fasting blood sugar is just it tells you what's happening at that particular point in time, but it does not let you know what's happening overall, and so you need to look at the hemoglobin A1C, which measures the average over a 3 month period of time.
Okay.
All right.
All right,
and then go for it.
Okay.
All right, Brother Frank, I'm excited, man. There's so much more we can talk about fasting, you know. We'd be glad to work with individuals, but I'm excited that we're able to get these 2 weeks in to talk about something that's so very, very, very important. And if we include it, and include the right kind of fasting, I'm glad the question on intermittent fasting, was asked, because that's so important. People are doing stuff, these fads, and there's no scientific, people are out there to make money. And so they're promoting this stuff, and it's garbage. All right. I recommend folks go back and listen to the program that we did on intermittent fasting. I guess it was a couple months ago. And we talk about why intermittent fasting as its practice is not good. Now, if you're going to eat a good breakfast and a strong lunch or early dinner, and then fast the rest of the night and get back up in the morning, eat a strong breakfast, that's good. But this other stuff, not eating until 1 o'clock, that's garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the literature, and you don't have to take my word for it. Go to the literature. Google it. Go to Google and ask them about not eating breakfast and see what happens. All right, Brother Frank, any closing words?
Yes. It's important that you be monitored when you're doing fasting, especially if you're sick. Doc's got a regular fasting program, and he recommends that you be monitored. So if you want to make an appointment with him, he's my doctor, of course, and you just call 202-388-0992. Tuesdays through Thursdays, 10 to 5. Or you can go to www.twiliving.com. TWI stands for the Watkins Institute, living.com, not dead. We want to thank Kalia, our able engineer, as usual. And we want to thank Jerry Parrish, who's leaving soon, current general manager, Katia Stitt, program director, Esther Ivram, so many other staff, able staff, programmers, volunteers, and loyal listeners for WPFW. Thank you, Joni, for what you do to keep DC healthy mentally as well, and what you do for liberation. Stay tuned to WPFW, Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. We'll see you again, or hear you again next week, Monday at 2. Thank you so much.
I tell we're I tell on a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth and leave the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish or dairy, then look for me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell him, say me no eat no fish, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yam. When me tell him, say that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell him, say me no eat no fish, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yam. When me tell him, say that I'm a vegan. When me no eat no meat, no fish, no cheese, nah, no egg. Nothing with no foot, no eye, no wing, nah, no head. Nothing with no lip, no ears, no tongue, nah, no leg. Prefer fruit and vegetables instead. Me careful and me choose about what I'm eating. Me food is me medicine. When me tell people that me no eat them, they think. They look at me and scratch them chin and start wondering. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat.
Diverse City Fund is a grassroots grant source for change makers of color in the nation's capital. We fund social justice work by and for DC people of the global majority. Apply online now, no later than Friday, March 29th, by going to the website www.diversecityfund.org. You can send email to info@diversecityfund.org. Upcoming info session dates, and past recordings are online to answer all your questions. See www.diversecityfund.org or call 202-743-0130. That's 202-743-0130.
Diverse City Fund ofrece subvenciones para agentes de cambio de color en la capital de la nación. Financiamos el trabajo de justicia racial y social por y para líderes de color en D.C. Solicite una subvención en línea hoy, al más tardar el viernes 29 de marzo.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. The clock is ticking as a government shutdown is on the horizon yet again. This time, it will be a partial shutdown, and the deadline to avoid it is this Friday, March 22nd. After months of avoiding shutdowns at the 11th hour with stopgap bills, Congress finally passed a package of six bills earlier this month to fund a list of government agencies for the rest of the fiscal year. But the work is not done yet. A number of key government operations still need to be funded by the end of the day this coming Friday, including the Departments of Defense, Homeland Security, Labor, Health and Human Services, Education, State, and the Legislative Branch. Did you know that according to a new major study, more than 3 billion people worldwide were living with a neurological condition as of the year 2021? A neurological condition is medically defined as one that affects the brain as well as the nerves found throughout the body and the spinal cord. The top 10 neurological conditions contributing to loss of health in 2021 were stroke, neonatal encephalopathy or brain injury, migraine, dementia, diabetic neuropathy or nerve damage, meningitis, epilepsy, neurological complications from preterm birth, autism spectrum disorder, and nervous system cancers. Neurological conditions like those just mentioned are now the leading cause of ill health and disability worldwide. The overall amount of disability, illness, and premature death caused by neurological conditions has increased by 18% since the year 1990. Overall, neurological conditions cause more disability and health loss in men compared to women. But there are some conditions, like migraine or dementia, where women are disproportionately affected. To your local news, in New York City, a group of concerned parents and others rallied on the steps of City Hall today to save what they believe are critical early childhood education programs. The programs in jeopardy include special education, pre-K expansion, social workers in schools, and coordinators who work with children in shelters. Federal stimulus money is about to end for some of these programs, so some advocates believe that the time to act is now. The City Council questioned the Department of Education about Mayor Eric Adams' budget plan for the 2025 fiscal year. Last year, the mayor cut 5% from all city agencies, including education, due to the rising cost of the migrant crisis and the end of federal pandemic funding. To the D.C. area, it's cherry blossom season in the district, and the cherry trees at the Tidal Basin reached peak bloom yesterday, which is 6 days earlier than expected. The National Park Service, or NPS, initially anticipated that peak bloom would begin this Saturday, March 23rd. But 70% of the trees along the Tidal Basin reached that stage yesterday, March 17th, due to recent warm weather in D.C. NPS says that the record for peak bloom happened on March 15th, 1990. Here are some more fast facts about the cherry blossoms. These blossoms are the national flower of Japan, and they symbolize friendship between the United States and Japan. There are hundreds of cherry blossom varieties, the most common in D.C. being Yoshino. The trees usually live 30 to 40 years and then are replaced. The annual Cherry Blossom Festival, which can attract up to 2 million visitors, takes place in D.C. from this Wednesday, March 20th, to Sunday, April 14th. In today's weather, it's currently about 50 degrees in New York and in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe, and thank you for listening.